Hello, I'm Gui.
I'm Afif.
And I'm Long.
And you're listening to another episode of Copy Overflow. I was about to say a podcast about software engineering.
We're making software now.
Isn't that what we always be doing?
For podcasts?
Oh, sorry, Long, I forgot you don't work.
Oh yeah, true. I forgot about that as well.
So today we have a guest. It's actually a returning guest, our first returning guest. And he was formerly our most quote-unquote famous guest with a highest played episode, but he's no longer the king of that. He's already toppled, unfortunately. But I'd like to welcome Mehdi.
Hi, Gui. Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me.
For first-time listeners, probably, Mehdi, maybe you want to give a quick intro about yourself. Then we can jump in, like, why we actually want to get Mehdi on this episode.
Absolutely. Hi, everyone. My name is Mehdi. I have joined, I think, the software engineering industry maybe 10 years ago. I started as a full-stack engineer. Around 3-4 years ago, I switched to doing site-rel VLC engineering, SRE. And for the past 6 months, I've had the pleasure of leading a team of SREs at my current company, and that's been a big transition for me.
Say you do engineering management without saying you do engineering management. So I think Mehdi just said that, but he didn't mention management a single time. So that's how you know you're a good engineering manager, because you don't bring up the word management.
Don't say the M word.
But it's okay to say the L word, like leader, leading.
Because like Mehdi recently gone through this transition, and as he mentioned, he's 6 months in, so we thought it would be a great idea to get him on and especially talk about how he feels about the recent transition and probably some of the things that he gone through, especially the decision to move from management. Because I think Mehdi just mentioned you were before this engineer and then deciding to move to a management career path. A lot of people probably would struggle that when they reach a certain point in their software engineering career as well. So definitely would love your thoughts and insight on that. But yeah, so how did you manage to get into management?
I went on a vacation for maybe 2 weeks, and
that's a good start. All good stories start from a vacation.
Yeah, like went for a vacation for 2 weeks. And when I came back, I had a meeting with my manager and his manager. And they were like, hey, I'm about to leave the company and we would like you to do some of the management work. And it started with how about you do some of the quarterly planning and like the technical stuff. But slowly over time, I took on more responsibilities, the people responsibilities, the hiring, and the full package that comes with engineering management. That is what I've been doing for the past 6 months or so.
You mentioned full package, but what full package entails actually? So hiring, what else? Thinking about career growth for your...
Yeah, so there's, like you mentioned, there is hiring, there is, rather than that, there's like the people component, which includes things like hiring, growing the team, talking about career growth. And at least in my role, there's some mentoring component as well. There are other things like planning, technical planning. Some organizations might have like an engineering manager and a tech lead, and the tech lead would take on some of the responsibilities that are tech related for the team. In the absence of a tech lead, I think some of that work will fall onto the plate of the engineering manager, which is the case for me. So there's like, what are we gonna work on in the next quarter or like for the next year, and communicating that upward, downward, and like adjacent teams. And there's also on a day-to-day basis, there are an organization is ever growing. So there's always gonna be requests coming in, and ideally you don't want these requests to go directly to the team members, because you want everyone on the team to get some focus hours in order to drive work and progress projects. And part of what I do is just the prioritization of, oh, okay, like we have all of these requests coming in, which ones are important and we're gonna work on in the next iteration, i.e. the next sprint, and which are too big to do in the next sprint or probably we just work on in the next quarter. And some requests that are, hey, you must really do this now for some reason, and like just finding the right time to do it and funneling work through to the team in a more organized manner.
That sounds like there's a certain overlap or similarities with what a project owner or product manager do. So how do you like set the boundaries between these two roles, EM and PM?
I think in your team, you don't have a PM, right?
Yeah, exactly. For my team, infrastructure team or SRE team, we don't really have a product manager or a technical program manager. So we take on the ownership of our roadmap priorities and work. In the past, we had cases where maybe we had a need to have a technical program manager for things like we're about to launch like a campaign where every resource in our AWS environment needs to be tagged appropriately. And like part of that, there's technical work, but there's a program management work for that where someone needs to, here's an audit of all the resources, follow up with teams and like make sure the thing is progressing throughout maybe a quarter or whatever time frame we have. But this is just like a someone driving a program throughout the company, not someone distilling requirements for the SRE team to work on. I imagine the experience for like an engineering team that works on features and customer facing services might be a bit different, because like you said, most likely the team will have a product person who does the road mapping for them. And I imagine there's going to be more collaboration between the product person and the engineering manager in terms of like, what's the team's current capacity? What can we output throughout this quarter? Finding the time to maybe work on technical debt as a percentage of our bandwidth, and finding the time to work on the business needs and balancing both.
Right. So now that you're like 6 months in your journey, and we just covered like the roles and responsibilities of roughly an engineering manager, is there a responsibility that you had to do now as a manager that you never realized that previous manager was doing that now invokes a very strong emotion? It could be something you like or hate. Or
I knew my previous manager was shielding the team from randomization. I just didn't know to what extent. Randomization as in daily requests that come in that otherwise would just interrupt everyone on the team and force them to like switch context constantly and not get enough focus hours. I just didn't realize to what extent. That was a bit unsettling for me at first, because I've always been the kind of proactive person, as in, here's a problem, here's why this is a problem, here's how we're gonna work on it. But as I took on the management role, there's a good percentage of my day that is reactive, as in someone emailing me something or a Slack message or like a general question. And these things you don't really plan for and you don't have control over them. So at first it was a bit overwhelming, where I tried to keep all these asks in my head and then I would fail at that, because as a person you can maybe keep track of 3 things at the same time. If there are 10 things or 20 things happening throughout the day, you're just gonna drop out some of them. And just finding a mental model to approach this took me some time to get it right, but right now I kind of have a grasp over it. One thing that I found very helpful was, I read this from the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, where it talks about how you would label your work as urgent, not urgent, important, and not important. And ideally, if something is not important and not urgent, you really don't need to do it. For example, a marketing person from a third-party vendor is sending me an email like, hey, would you like to take a look at our product? Appreciate your effort, but unless I need it, I'm not going to spend my limited time on this one. But then you have things like urgent and important. And these are things that you really need to do on the spot, and ideally you would want to minimize that as much as possible. If you have a lot of important and urgent things, maybe I'm not doing prioritization well, where I keep postponing some work that is not urgent until it becomes urgent, and then I really have to do it now. And the ideal case is to have a lot of work that is important but not urgent, because now you can take your time and plan and just go over it throughout the weeks and the days.
I feel like between what's urgent and what's important, it's easier to decide which one is urgent. Usually you have a deadline to tell you that's urgent. But to decide what's important, I think that's always, at least to me, feel something that doesn't have a good guideline that you can depend on. Is that what you have to decide as an EM? Like, what's important?
Usually when someone asks me something, I ask them these 2 questions, like, how urgent is this and how important is this to you? And that sort of helps. An unreasonable person would always tell you this is urgent and important for me, but generally speaking, most people will be considerate of your backlog of things and will work with you on that one.
When everything is important, nothing is.
Exactly. Now you start talking about which is more importanter, kind of.
All tasks are equally important, but some are more equally important. Anyway, it's a something I want to bring up or curious about your transition, right? Since you are still new in this transition, I guess relatively speaking, 6 months. Before this, have you always considered this path as an option, becoming a manager?
I always enjoyed systems problems like not as software engineering systems problems, but like viewing teams and people and organizations as systems where ideas flow in and value comes out. I sort of like that category of problems. The cool thing here is that this is kind of, you can read more books about it and you can get a grasp around that domain. I can't say that I enjoyed or ever enjoyed really the people side of management. You know, like you have to do both. Like they balance each other out. So with that in mind, at some point in the past, I did tell my manager when we were talking about career path before I took on the management role, like, hey, I like that category of work, but I don't want to do the people side. However, as the months went by and the opportunity presented itself, I ended up doing both. And luckily, in my current job, we have a good framework for new managers to succeed in terms of like more experienced managers who are willing to share their experience in like a company book club or like something where you can read a management book and then like, let's all get together and discuss it. That training really helps throughout the whole transition.
Now that you're 6 months into this, right, have that changed? Like before you went into this, you didn't want to deal with the people side of things, right? But now you have experience dealing with the people side of things, I assume. That have your perception changed by all this new information or experience? Or do you hate it even more now? I'm not sure.
I think I have some experience with the people aspect. Probably 10 years from now, I would still say I have some experience with the people aspect. Just because like a system can have a very limited number of mutations, it's easier to understand how a system will behave. People are like much more complex than a software system, so to speak. That being said, I think my human nature is that I don't like things that are unknown, where I don't have a point of reference for how to approach it. When it came to systems, because, well, I've been doing software engineering for a while, it transitioning to doing systems engineering and solving team problems sort of made sense because it somehow builds on top of that. The people aspect is completely new and different for me. So at first, that's why I didn't really enjoy it much. But as I started doing it more and just talking with more experienced managers and reading more topics on this, on the management side, podcasts, all of that, really just gives a point of reference. So you're not just thrown in the deep end of the ocean and you're just trying to swim, but you can stand on top of your toes a little bit and like have some footing. One point on the human side, I'm actually really enjoying now the thing around certain workflows, like hiring, for example. It's really exciting just to, hey, take a look at the things we've built. Take a look at the challenges we're working on. What are you interested in as a new engineer? And like, let me chat with you and see whether we align and like you'd be interested in working with us. I really enjoy that. Creating a new onboarding process for new engineers, like just looking at a new person joining the team, struggling with like number of systems we own and like the things we've built over the past few years, and just identifying as a new person who's just opening a novel like in the middle of the book, what highlights can I give you to understand, to have enough context so that you can understand how the story so far has progressed, so you can continue reading without asking you to just go to page one and read from the start. Other things like hiring someone and like helping them learn new things and grow as engineers. And these three things have been the highlight for me when it comes to the people side of management.
The reading book part, the quote, the analogy is really good. I really like that. From what you mentioned, it feels like there's two aspects in the management role, right? Part of it is like systemizing. The other part is the human part that I guess you mentioned about. Feel like require more human connections. Empathy in between these two, what do you think is more important or more helpful to you as a manager, or which part of it do you involve more? Do you think that people should focus more? I guess, can you focus on empathizing? I'm not sure. Systemizing probably, yes.
I think the answer is very contextual. If I'm managing a team that is well established and there are one or more very strong technical people on the team, as a manager, I'm probably going to spend more time on the people side because I have great people. I trust them. They're like, they have the seniority to take full ownership of the delivery of the technical things. So I don't need to allocate a lot of bandwidth into that. I might spend some cycles looking just into the flow of the team, like just the process side of things. but I don't need to be involved in the technical things. However, if I'm hiring for a new team from scratch, or hiring a new team and everyone on the team is maybe like just came out of college a year or two, I imagine I would need to balance both, where I'm going to focus more effort into the technical side while trying to hire someone who's more senior, who can take ownership of the technical delivery of the team. I think the goal is just to be in a balance of both. And depending on the situation, you would tune either the people side or the technical side to hit an equilibrium at some point.
So it depends.
Yes, as always.
The answers to all tech-related questions.
Because things are never simply like one and zero when you're not working with codes.
And I think that's what makes working with software a little bit easier, right? Because it's the predictability kind of makes that a little bit easier. But then I can imagine, like, from what you've said so far, the different contexts of the team, and then also the contexts of the team members, like the circumstances of the team members as well. Maybe you have a performing engineer who's always performing, and then suddenly that performance can always drop, right? And then you have to handle that. There's no predictability in that, right? Because it might be happening because of some personal circumstances or something like that. So I guess that's the people part that's harder because of the unpredictability. What are some of the approach that you took to kind of close that gap, in the sense that maybe you can come up with some kind of a playbook for these different situations? Like, how do you approach being proactively trying to figure out solutions for those?
I would say there are a few things I think were very helpful for me. The first one is my one-on-ones with my manager. We hardly ever talk about project status, but rather it's more of a, hey, this thing happened, this is how I approached it, how would you approach it? And my manager has been doing this like twice longer than my career. So it's just learning from someone else's experience really helps, because they've already seen this problem before, probably tried it a few times. They have a good grasp on it. So just learning from other people's experience really helps. Another thing is reading books like on specific topics. Like, let's talk about hiring, for example. There's this book that another manager in my current org recommended for me called Who, the Method for Hiring. It really talks about how to structure a good interview process. If you find yourself overwhelmed, it's probably, that's what the book says, you don't have a what problem, as in like, what should we do, but rather a who problem, as in like, who do we need to hire to solve this problem, or do we have the right team composition? So the book also just describes certain processes when it comes to hiring, and that's very helpful. Like, here in North America, it's a very hot market for software engineers. And if we're only optimizing for the compensation component, then a FAANG company will always win. Like, we can't really compete with them. But then how do you create a good hiring process where a new person is really interested in joining the company, even though we're not going to pay them as much as they would get in a FAANG company? As a new person, do I feel like I have a future here? Do I have a career growth? Do I feel safe in this environment? So just like having a point of reference is what I'm trying to say, really helps. A point of reference comes from reading books. It comes from talking with other managers, or really other social venues as well. Like, it could be talking with another engineer who works in a different company and hearing them describe a process that they are frustrated with. And then that gives me a flashback of, oh no, I may have a similar problem. Like, there's a problem in my team, but no one has raised their concerns about it. So I better be proactive and figure out how to fix that.
I think that's also something I recall from some book, that despite how, I guess, impactful good manager can be, the learning path, the direction to learn to be a manager is often very unstructured. Like what you said, you always have to talk with other who are more experienced than you and then learn from them and then just share. It's just more like a very community or rather unstructured approach, right?
Exactly. And like, the way this is different, I think, from IC is that as an individual contributor, you can learn in a sandbox, in isolation. As in, I'm going to have a personal project that I want to work on, and I'm going to spend like some time working on that in isolation. Like, if it burns, that's fine. I'm just going to rewrite it from Haskell in Scala or something. I don't know. And you can iterate in that sandbox and gain that experience. However, for management, it's very unlikely that I can get a sandbox team where I can experiment and screw up things. That is not to say that in management, you can't experiment. It's just that I need to be more pragmatic in how I approach experiments, as in, hey team, how do you feel if we try to do synchronous stand-up during COVID, like, and working remote, and like, let's try it for a quarter and then let's chat about it and see if you guys like it or you don't, and then like, we don't have to do it anymore. So you can kind of do experimentation, but set the expectation like, hey, this is temporary, and always communicate like, here's the problem I think we have, here's like the outcome that I think we need to reach. And I try to be very open about it with my team. That's sort of my approach when it comes to experimentation in management.
You were talking about community, talking to other people in other companies about their problems. Where do you usually go to for these kind of things? Do you go to meetups or...?
I haven't been to a meetup in a while, but something I've been doing recently is just join non-tech related groups, like cycling group or running group or things like that. And just chatting with random people there. I think the people component of engineering managers translates really well outside the context of just engineering in general or tech. So a person who owns a shop manages a team of people, and like, they have that great experience they can share. Or someone who's managing like a factory, for example, they have great experience to share as well. So that's sort of been my circle of influence, like people who've influenced me with different ideas. And it's interesting that the ideas came from people who don't work in tech, but sort of translated really well, I think.
Yeah, I'm calling now, Maddie's going to be like a Fortune 500 CEO in 10 years. Such a huge network. But I do think that's a very interesting like approach you're taking. So I say it's interesting is because a natural progression for engineering manager is usually they will come from a engineer background. Very likely they are a engineer that is doing well and a manager thinks they are suitable. Or in your case, your manager and your manager managers think you're suitable for this role. And it usually comes from an engineering background. Right? You are a decent engineer. That's why they're looking at you. I'm not generalizing here, but I feel like a lot of engineers approach the career because they wanted to work more with software, for example. So some might be a bit introverted to kind of expose themselves to like these sort of circles. Like, do you have difficulty in doing that, or to you it was just more of a natural social thing, and then from there it's more like just naturally networking with people?
Oh no, it's terrifying. But since I started doing more management, I find myself talking with a lot more people, like inside the company especially. And with that comes, you know, you just grow that skill. For example, when hiring, I like to reach out to the person. Like, while we have a great recruiter's team, I like to keep a very close relationship with every candidate that I reach out to and I chat with. So there's that need to just start a conversation with someone you haven't chatted with before and just making it very interesting. It's like sales. I'm selling my team and I'm selling my company. I think as I started doing these more, my people skills sort of have improved gradually. Still, there's a lot to learn and a lot of things to improve, but starting a conversation with strangers, not that scary as it used to be, I would say, a year ago.
I really like all the like positive spins you put on things. Like, you were really excited to talk about hiring and onboarding and talking about implementing process for them or doing the process for onboarding and hiring. And now talking like, oh, I'm trying to sell my company to people that are interested in working with first. I really love all the positive spins you put on this.
Spins.
Yeah, like when you're interviewing someone, you probably won't think of like, oh, I'm trying to sell my company and my team to this person. So hopefully they want to work with us, right? That's why I say like, Medi really puts a lot of positive spin to a lot of all these things and really, really love that energy. All right, so I think kind of want to wrap up with maybe one last question is, I mentioned about the progression of engineers and to management. And I think a lot of engineers probably will reach a point where maybe they are senior or staff or whatever position they're in. They will probably think like, oh, I'm just, you know, integrating APIs every day. I want to try something else. But they look at management and they just bring up the whole people management part. And probably I think that would be the scariest thing to approach, because I feel, again, hopefully not a generalization, that a lot of engineers will look at the system part and think like, yeah, I do that every day. I can handle systems. I think we also established that the people part can be very frightening as well, especially if they don't know how to improve in that area. And also for someone like you recently transitioned, if for example there is a engineer who's looking into management but not quite sure is it what they want to step into, do you have any words of consideration for them on like if they want to remain as an engineer or want to move towards the management track?
I heard this I think in a podcast, I forgot which one.
Is it Copy Overflow?
I'm just gonna share it and you tell me if it is. You shouldn't think of management as a promotion. Mainly like in other fields, people think of management as a promotion because the work is so bad that they don't want to do it. And by becoming managers, they don't get to do it anymore. And that's like the promotion aspect of it. But for software engineers, most competent software engineers really like the work they do. And gotcha here is that by becoming a manager, you don't get to do that work anymore. So it is not a promotion, but rather a career change. Now, just to go back to what you said, like, okay, it's a career change, but then you have technical side of it or a direction and such, but you also have the people component, which is probably something new and you don't have a base of reference for it. For me personally, I would very unlikely become a manager if I were to switch from a software engineer, change companies and accept a role as a manager in a new company. Because like I would probably have never done that. However, if someone works in a company where there's like a need for a manager, and usually there's almost always is, because managers are very hard to find, or like good managers are very hard to find, and most companies are very open to the idea of someone within the team stepping up and taking that change of roles and will provide them with a good training and like a safety net. So if your company has that training, that safety net, you're not just thrown into a new role and you're not set up to succeed, like that's bad. But if it's otherwise, like that's worth experimenting. And generally speaking, I think there's a, what do they call it? The Peter principle, where you get promoted until you reach a level of incompetence and then you start wreaking havoc on the organization. Now, to avoid that, most companies, what they do is that you do the work before you get the promotion. While on one hand, you're doing now more work, but your compensation may not reflect it. But on the other hand, this is a good trial period for the company and for you as well. Like if you don't like this, you can always step back and go back to like what you're comfortable with, and there's no harm there. And most companies will have that, so like chat with your manager and see if you can get that level of support. Aside from that, it's very important to just have a circle of people you can chat with that gives you a great level of support. And sometimes just the random ideas that come out from these conversations can make so much impact on problems you have at work. Other things that I think are worth mentioning, like books, podcasts, you're embarking on something new and you don't have knowledge in that space. So spend some time and effort to build that knowledge, because it's going to come a long way and help you succeed.
Wow, that's, I would say, very good advice. Thanks, Matty, for everything you impart.
Very good perspective and very comprehensive explanations.
That's why he's a manager, you see.
Damn it.
All right, so before we go, Matty, do you want to like promote yourself? Any social links you want to drop here or anything at all? Like, go ahead and promote yourself if you're writing a book, you know.
You can find me on LinkedIn, Matty Zongjie, MehdiZongjie. And I also have a blog, MZ News. That's my initials, news.com. I'm planning to start writing more blogs on management sometimes in the next few weeks.
Looking forward to it. And yeah, we'll share the links in the descriptions of the episode. So hopefully you'll get more hits to your blog. All right, I guess we can kind of end the episode. Follow us on Twitter, Copy Overflow. You can also find us on other major podcast platforms, which include Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts.
Don't let your copy overflow.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thanks, Matty, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.